But anyone who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But on the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work. You, your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, but rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. Honor your father and your mother, so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or male or female slave, or ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us read responsibly Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky proclaims its maker's handiwork. Although they have no words or language, and their voices are not heard,
their sound has gone out to all lands, and their message to the ends of the world, where God has pitched
a tent for the sun. It comes forth like a bridegroom out of his chamber. It rejoices like a champion to run its course. The teaching of the Lord is perfect and revives the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure and gives wisdom to the simple.
The statutes of the Lord are just and rejoice the heart. The commandment of the Lord is clear and gives
life to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean and endures forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. By them also is your servant enlightened, and in keeping them there is great reward. Above all, keep your servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not get dominion over me. Then shall I be whole and sound, and innocent of a great offense. Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my father's house a marketplace." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and will you raise it up in 3 days?" but he was speaking of the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. The Gospel of the Lord.
Please be seated. If you have your Bibles with you or the Bibles in the front of you in the pews, you're welcome to open those up to John chapter 2 as we kind of explore this text for us this morning. If you noticed in our psalm that we just read it responsibly, the last verse is one that you hear often, especially when Heidi preaches. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. And how many people knew that was in Scripture? So you just read that today? Good. Excellent. It's a wonderful thing to remember. So we lift that up in the spirit of that this morning as we come together to bring a message this day. Now, I want to start out by asking, do you know, if you think, those of you that drive, when you're driving and you look to the left in the side view mirror, sometimes it says something at the bottom, if not all the time, I don't remember. Does anybody know what it says there at the bottom? Did you hear that? Say that again.
Objects in the mirror
are closer than they appear. And I have to say that I've often used that as a guide for what I'm about as a disciple of Jesus Christ. And the reason is because I think that that's really what we do as the people of God, and particularly in my line and work as a pastor, is to remind you and to other people to say the object, God, is closer than God may appear from time to time. And it makes sense that oftentimes when we can look at our lives and think back on our lives, we do so, and as we do so, we go, oh yeah, God was there. It's kind of like looking in that rear view mirror or that side view mirror and going, wow, I wondered where God was, but yeah, you were there. We all are familiar with the wonderful, one of the most powerful poems in my life was the poem Footprints, and that was powerful because I remember reading that when I was at the beach. I was about 13 or 14 years old, and we would always stay at the same condo every year when we would go to the beach. It was a wonderful gift from a person in the congregation to our family. And so we would go and stay there, and that was there for years. I watched it for years, and finally, one day, I don't know why, it was God's timing to be sure, but I walk in, and I just start reading it, and I'm absolutely moved and brought to tears. It was particularly that line which said at the very end, oh Lord, when you look back and you saw only one set of footprints, it was then, my child, that I was carrying you. So the idea of looking back on my life and wondering where was God in the midst of that and finding out that God was there the whole time. So often, those were moments of difficulty, but they were also moments of great blessing. You think I'm joking when I say Thursday was one of the highlights that I've had in my recent life, but it was. A day at home with your kids, and they weren't going nuts, and you could enjoy them and give thanks for the gift of a wife and children who are healthy and having fun and not thinking about all the other cares of the world. Thank God in that moment Thursday, I was able to go, thank you, Jesus, as I was grilling steaks out for our dinner. As I was looking out at the snow and thinking about my day, acknowledging that in that moment God had indeed been real for me. Well, so often I don't do that. I have to look in that rear view mirror. And fortunately, God allows us to do so to remind us that objects, God, God's grace, God's mercy, God's forgiveness, God's commitment to you in your life is a lot closer than it may appear from time to time. Well, we're fortunate as we get our lesson today that we have kind of a similar situation happening. If you look there in chapter 2, we have the story of Jesus cleansing the temple, which is one of the probably most misunderstood texts in the Bible, I think at least. Oftentimes people come to me and go, see, I'm really angry, and that's okay because Jesus got angry. Well, okay. But why is Jesus angry? Is Jesus angry because he didn't get his way? Is Jesus angry because his team lost? Is Jesus angry because he's mad at his spouse or he's mad at his children? Is Jesus mad about those things? Why is Jesus angry is my question. I don't think this story is in the Bible to say, well, yeah, it's okay to be angry. Well, it is. Angry is emotion. We all get angry. You know, we can't help being angry. We can help how we deal with that anger, to be sure. But in this text particular, Jesus' anger is at a place, is being directed at a whole system that was misguided and misused. That kind of righteous indignation, perhaps. And Jesus goes on to then, you know, throw an uproar into the day. You know, some civil disobedience, if you will. And then as he is doing that and he's being questioned, they come to him and they say to him, you know, what are you talking about? You can remake this temple in 3 days. And then he said, I will rebuild it in 3 days. And they're like, what are you talking about? You're crazy. And then notice here in verse 22. Or verse 21. But he was speaking of the temple of his body. In verse 22, here is your objects are closer than they appear rear view mirror text. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples, what's the word? Remembered that he had said this. And they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. Isn't that interesting? It wasn't until after Jesus had been raised from the dead that they go, oh yeah, remember when he said that? Oh, now I believe that. You know, they kind of look back. And the events of that day gave them the lens to see what had been going on in their life. Now hold your hand there in John chapter 2, and if you would like to turn, if you have your Bibles with you, go ahead and turn back to our lesson last week, which was Mark chapter 8. All right? And in Mark chapter 8, we had, starting in verse 31, we had the whole story that Jesus telling them that he must suffer, undergo great suffering, and he said, if any want to become my followers, in verse 34, let them deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it. Those who want to lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will find it. Now, right before that, you know, when Jesus had said, this is all the things that have to happen, I'm going to be killed, and after 3 days rise again, Peter says, get behind me, Satan. Peter says, no, that won't happen. Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. And so what he's saying to him is that you can't understand my messiahship unless you understand the cross. And so what we have last week and what we have this week is the dual lens, if you will, of being able to see what Jesus is up to in this world and in your life. And it can only be seen through the dual lens of the cross and the empty tomb. We can't come to understand what God is up to without understanding that it's going to involve suffering and that it's going to offer new life. Now think about your life for a second. How often have you experienced some sense of suffering? Raise your hand. I think every hand here was raised. Every single one of you have in some way experienced suffering, have you not? And how many people here have moments where life is exactly how you would want it to be? And I think I should see every other hand up as well. Put them up. Because every single one of you have those moments where you're like I did Thursday as I'm grilling steak and looking up at the stars and thinking about my day going, thank you, Jesus. Because we all have those as well. And the reality is, as we live our lives, as we seek to follow Jesus, we are called to remember what Jesus has said and done. We are called to remember the cross in those moments of suffering and knowing that our God is bigger than all of our sufferings, that our God is greater than all of our struggles, that our God is more powerful than all of our storms and all of our pains. And we are also called to remember that ours is the God who comes down from the cross and comes out of the empty tomb and then brings new life and a whole new vision for what life could be. In our text today, and they remembered that he had said this after he was raised from the dead. You see, the resurrection changes it all. It changes a cross of death into a symbol of hope. It changes the possibilities of where suffering are in your life, that they can be renewed, they can be reconciled, they can bring you new life through the power of God. Objects. God's grace. God's forgiveness, God's peace, God's mercy, God's reconciliation, God's love for you as you, God's amazing commitment to you and to this world is closer than it may appear. But it does appear. It appears as we remember and hear yet again the words, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. When we hear the words, love them, I love you. When you hear the words, you have been sealed with the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. They are real when we hear the words, but he was not there. He was risen. They're real as you hear from those who matter in your life. Telling you, remember? Remember that moment in your life? God was there. And you know it to be true. In Jesus' name, amen.